Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your data from prying eyes at expressvpn.com/watchchad. Hey, it is party time, Mom. Welcome to another episode of the Chad Prather Show. We're here in the Mothership, which is Studio 22. It is Monday all day long, all night long. It is Monday until it's not Monday anymore. Hot news, Natalie, and then it becomes Tuesday. Boy, howdy, I'm excited. It's going to be a big week. Who knows what the world can throw at us? Who knows what's coming, Natalie? I don't know. You don't know. Life is one big old mystery, but I will tell you what I do know. Texas, our home, center of the universe, the Lone Star State, open for business. Life is beginning to creep back to normal just a little bit. What happens to the woke left that's pushing for lockdown orders to remain in place for people to stay in their home, not return to work, and boycott their bills? Well, here's the thing. You got these May Day protests all over the country that have been just kicked off all weekend long, and workers are going out to the picket lines. They're, you know, they stayed home in an effort to call for safer work environments and better protection while working during the pandemic. This is going to be an uphill battle, folks, because people are just absolutely in fear for their lives. I mean, it's just crazy, the stuff that's going on. We're going to talk about that some today. And it's interesting, while we have this virus, Candice, that doesn't know political sides, It's amazing how we've chosen sides. The Democrats, for instance, have the American people right where they want them, in the government pocket. And we're seeing that more and more. This poses a danger for the upcoming elections, as those now on unemployment have voiced their apprehension to return to work. There's even campaigns now saying boycott work. Don't go back to work. Well, that's problematic. We're going to dive into all of that today. Plus, we're going to be sitting down with Blaze TV's own Dave Rubin to discuss the release of his first book, Don't Burn This Book. So it's going to be an exciting episode this afternoon, tonight, wherever your time zone may be. Hey, listen, when your life is in chaos, your home is your safe haven. We know that your most important asset, but do you own it? Don't be so sure. Imagine getting evicted for non-payment of a loan that you never even took out. It's happening to people. It's happening everywhere, in fact. It's called home title theft, and the FBI calls it one of the fastest growing crimes. It's why I urge you to get Home Title Lock. Your home's legal title, it's kept online, and thieves know it. They're going to forge your signature on your home title, and that's it. They legally own your home, and they'll take loans out on it. Bank doesn't cover that. Neither does your insurance. The only way I know to avoid this nightmare and possible eviction from your own home is with Home Title Lock. So go to HomeTitleLock.com, register your address to see if you're already a victim. You can use code CHAD for a 30 free days of protection to help you get through this crisis. Again, enter CHAD at HomeTitleLock.com, HomeTitleLock.com. Go there today. Welcome back. Hanging out here, Studio 22, Puppet Master Mark. You feel like lockdown is coming to an end, Mark? Like you can...
Yeah, it feels like it's kind of a slow fade now going back to normal life. So I feel like it's going to be a long road, but it feels like it's starting to come back to normal.
I think so. I think that people are starting to say, we're still here. You know, I said a long time ago, we're just going to have a we're still here party. Mm-hmm. I know people get so mad. How dare you? Nobody wants anybody to die. Stop it. Nobody wants anybody to die. Candace, are we going to survive? Do you think we'll survive?
It looks hopeful.
I got my blood work back the other day. They said I'm low on vitamin D, party foul. And yeah. Apparently, if you're low on, you are more susceptible to dying of COVID if you're low on vitamin D. So now I'm paranoid about that.
Go get in the sun.
I did. I got a little sunburn yesterday on this arm. And I got on Amazon.com, and I have some 5,000 IU vitamin D coming. It's overnighting it. It costs more to overnight it than it did to buy the vitamins. But why Amazon? Because you know why? Because a lot of places are out of vitamin D. Hmm. Weird deal. So get your vitamin D, people. See, you've been gassing up on vitamin C.
Yeah, but that emergency also has vitamin D, B12, a bunch of other stuff. Yeah. So I think I'm good.
I think I'm good, too.
I think beer has vitamin D in it, so I drink a lot of that.
Probably so.
I've been taking a lot of vitamin D.
It's official. I have hit my quarantine 15, Candace. There it is. I finally gave myself 15 pounds to gain. I gained it, and now it's time to lose it. All right, so here we go, folks. Here we go, world. I'm going back to the
are
old
me. Are
you
starting today? Like, are you going to start today?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, then, no, you're not.
I'm going to lose it. I mean, am I on a timer here?
No, I just meant, when are you going to start the diet?
I am not going to go on a diet. I'm just going to stop doing some of the things I've been doing.
Only in America that we can go into quarantine and everybody gains the weight.
Everybody
I know has gained weight during this, except maybe Natalie. She said she lost weight. So
people, I've had to start sitting up in these chairs. These chairs, you just naturally want to slouch down in them. And the other day I was watching an episode and everybody was talking about, oh my God, you've gotten fat. I'm like, well, not since the other day's episode. I mean, it's been a process, right?
And like an hour ago.
Yeah, like an hour ago, boom. And I just slouched down thinking, people are like, oh my God, you're fat. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's nothing new. Nothing new. But anyway, I posted on social media, on Twitter, on Saturday, the CDC came out with a report that said that according to the death certificates now, only 37,000 people have died from coronavirus. Now, that got people up in arms because the headline all week long was more people have now died in America from COVID virus than died in the Vietnam War, more Americans at least. And of course, that number being about 64,000 and some change, 65,000 if we're going to round up. It takes them about a week to 8 weeks, usually about, 6 weeks to do a death certificate to determine that it's a death by COVID, right?
Or something else.
So we're not talking about COVID related, because if you get in a car wreck and you test positive for COVID, then they're listing you as a COVID death. Okay. And that's not valid. And that's not good, but that's what they're doing in many cases, various places. If you die of a heart attack and you had COVID, well, then you didn't die of a heart attack. You died of COVID.
Well, aren't some of these hospitals getting kickbacks for COVID deaths?
No, they are 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not sort of getting them. They are 100%. It is a moneymaker, especially right now when so many medical professionals are on furlough and the hospitals and the clinics can't make any money. So now they're making money if they can diagnose COVID. So it's turned into some business there. That's a fact. Don't come at me. Don't shoot the messenger. It's happening. Now, you could talk about whatever those motives are. That's not what we're talking about. I'm just telling you, it's a money-making industry right now, all the way across the board, from testing supplies, respirators, equipment, masks. It's a moneymaker, this thing. Horrible thing, but it's a fact. Now, people were coming at me and they were saying, nope, you're wrong. You need to read the fine print. You need to read the disclaimers. I read the disclaimers. I didn't draw any conclusions. I just said that this thing is becoming one of the biggest farces that's ever been foisted on the American people because we shut down an economy. Look at California. Shut it down. You can't go to the beach. Look at Michigan. You can't go to your cabin up on the lake. Look at all of these places. You can't go to church in a lot of places. You will get arrested. There are folks in Virginia. There's been a lawsuit now. The DOJ has now come out on the side of the church. We could talk about that some more. But these things, this is becoming really ridiculous. The one of the judges in Harris County, which is Houston, Texas, has come out and said, if you see people in a restaurant and there's too many people in the restaurant and they're defying Governor Abbott's orders, I want you to report them. That is the talk of tyrants. You have different ones that have over and over. Bill de Blasio says, if you see a crowd of people, take a picture of it, send it in. It's a lot of crap. It's a lot of BS.
It's a lot of tattletaling.
It's a lot of tattletaling. Sure. Neighbors telling on neighbors. This is some Gestapo Nazi stuff going on. I don't like it. I don't like them fighting words. And I think we're getting to a point where people have just had enough of just being forced to quarantine themselves or to stay at home or do these things. I know in Texas, as soon as they said that last Thursday, they said, okay, tomorrow we're going to start lifting some of this, and you can now have a quarter capacity in your restaurants. Thursday afternoon, the highways were packed. It was like driving home. It was like old times, Steve.
Yeah.
When I was driving home from the studio Thursday, it was like old times, man, because there were traffic jams, and it was, you know, heavy flow and all that stuff. And I was like, hey, people, they're coming out.
Never been so excited to be in a traffic jam.
Now, that being said, I'm not running out to restaurants. I don't have a desire to. Like, I don't want to go wait in line to eat nachos.
I went to a nail salon.
You did. Look at your nails. Look at them. I mean, you could have done that yourself, Natalie.
No.
You would have made a mess, huh?
Yes.
You went to a big party Friday night, too.
Yeah?
I did go to a party.
Did you go to his house?
I did.
How many people were at your house, Steve?
I'm not going to say, but there was
Do we need to report?
You can report. None of my neighbors did.
Okay.
I've done it every Friday night during this whole thing.
I'm thinking we might need to report Steve's house.
Report me.
I was not there.
It's the same. I didn't even get invited.
Yes, you did.
No,
yes,
I didn't. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. No, I wasn't invited. I wasn't invited. I have nothing to do with anybody named Steve Powell.
Yeah.
Nobody. Hey, the whole deal is about staying healthy, folks, and it matters. And I want to talk to you about that. Staying healthy and strong, more important than ever right now. For me, it's all about feeling energized. People say, where do you get all this energy from? I can tell you exactly where I get it from. When I'm out on the road, when I'm here in the studio, yes, I'm already hyperactive as it is, but I want to stay resilient. I want to stay well. I take supplements from Objective Wellness. Objective offers targeted solutions like better sleep, firmer skin, or a healthy immune system. Their products are crafted with high-quality ingredients shown to deliver specific results. Objective's ingredients are backed by science, and behind each ingredient, there are scientific studies and endless hours of research. Objective sources active extracts from blueberries, saffron, and even microalgae. You've never taken microalgae, Natalie. Mm-mm. I take it. Listen, it's going to provide antioxidants that are 6,000 times stronger than vitamin C. Objective knows that wellness looks different on everyone, that there is no one-size-fits-all solution. That's why Objective focuses on targeted solutions, giving you support exactly where you need it. And Objective helps me feel my best so they can help you too. Go to objectivewellness.com. Use code WATCHCHAD. Get 20% off your first order. If you're not completely satisfied, you can get a full refund. That's Objective. That's the Objective promise. You have nothing to lose. Go to objectivewellness.com. Code WATCHCHAD. 20% off. The statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Any products discussed or advertised not intended to diagnose, treat, care, or prevent any disease. Be right back. Hey, coming up in the next block, we're going to be talking with our good friend Dave Rubin. He's got a brand new book out called Don't Burn This Book. It's phenomenal. I read it over the weekend and anxious to talk to him about that. But it goes, a lot of what he's talking about in the book. And of course, if you listen to Dave, you'll hear a lot of the same things that we're saying in terms of this lockdown craziness and nonsense. Let me just remind everybody, for those of you who are saying, yeah, but you got to stay quarantined or you got to stay at home and all this thing because it's best for your physical well-being. Let me remind everybody that your physical well-being is not the only well-being that you have.
Amen.
There's mental well-being. Mm-hmm.
Emotional.
There's spiritual well-being. There's emotional well-being. I am an extroverted person. Steve's an extroverted person. You're an extroverted person.
Yes.
I need people to be energized. Mm-hmm. That is just a psychological fact. It's that way. I'm an extrovert. You keep me alone for too long. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. I have to deal with clinical depression. Mm-hmm. I have to deal with, I take medication for it. These are aspects of my life that are real. People who know me, they know this. I've never made it a secret. So when you keep saying, well, you just got to isolate, you got to isolate, you got to isolate. I mean, I feel so bad for my mother. My mother has gotten more and more isolated, you know, herself. She keeps to herself. She's always, but my mother, she's a people person. And she's been shut up in her house now for a couple of months. And I feel bad for her, you know, because I know how she is. She likes to socialize. She likes to be around her people. And that's hard on a lot of folks out there.
So my mom, who has COPD, went back to work this week. She can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to work. And I said, have at it. It's her life.
So that's why when I post that graph about the CDC saying the death certificates are 37,000 or 30, whatever it is, and then somebody says, oh, 64,000 people have died. Okay, but if you look at the cases of COVID that have existed in America that we know about, what is it, 1.1, 1.2 million people cases, and then 65,000, 64,000 deaths, that's still like point, that's less than a percentage point.
Correct.
You're talking 0.06. You're talking if you like you take 330 million people in America and you do that, I mean you're talking like 0.00019. I mean that's a very small percentage. So even still we're talking about statistical non-entities. Now I know there are those of you who are saying, "Oh my God, how can you play this down?" I want to remind you guys, I want to take you back to 1968 December of 1968. There was a flu. It spread from Hong Kong to the United States. It peaked a year later. This flu killed 100,000 people in the U.S., mostly over the age of 65. It killed 1 million people worldwide. The lifespan in the U.S. in those days, back in 68, 69, was 78. Oh, I'm sorry, it was 70, whereas today is 78. Population was 200 million compared to the 330 million today. It was a healthier population then with low obesity. If you were to extrapolate death data based on population and demographics, we might be looking at 250,000 deaths today, almost like counting inflation, but with human lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in 1968... the H3N2 pandemic killed more individuals in the U.S. than the combined total number of American fatalities during both Vietnam and the Korean Wars. It happened in the lifetime of just about every American over the age of 52, right? You were there for it. You might not remember it if you were really young, but nothing closed. Schools stayed open. Restaurants stayed open. Businesses stayed open. You could go to the movies. You could go to bars. People went to concerts. People have no awareness, but in August of 1969, a little thing called Woodstock happened. Mm. Everybody was there for that.
And herpes skyrocketed.
Yeah. So did you know that Woodstock was actually planned for January of 69? Didn't happen until August of 69. It was planned during the worst period of death. So this thing actually occurred during deadly American flu pandemic that peaked globally 6 months later. There was no thought given to the virus like it was today. So, stock markets didn't crash. There was no legislation passed. There was no Federal Reserve, printing more money. There was no bailouts. There was no, there was no stipends that were being sent out. Not a single governor acted to enforce social distancing, curve flattening, even though hundreds of thousands of people were hospitalized. There was no banning of crowds. There were no mothers arrested for taking their kids to other homes or to the park. Surfers weren't arrested for being at the beach. So, daycares weren't shut down, even though there were more infant deaths with this virus than the one we're experiencing right now. There were no suicides to be reported. There were no unemployment, no drug overdoses. Media talked about the pandemic. I'm sitting here looking at a New York Times story. It's called the Hong Kong flu. That must have been racist.
Oh, that's racist.
Hong Kong flu attacks thousands here swiftly. That was a New York Times, December 11th, 1968. So the Wall Street Journal says in 1968, 70 news outlets devoted cursory attention to the virus while training their lenses on other events such as the moon landing, Vietnam War, and cultural upheaval of civil rights movements, student protests, sexual revolution. So you see what I'm saying? What was the difference? What was the difference? Why was it different? Well, there was no mass media invading your life with endless notifications blowing up in your pockets. We didn't sit around thinking that politics was responsible for everything that goes on in our life with somebody to blame. There was no social media that was out there. There wasn't a whole bunch of, adoring of the adoration of predictive modeling right now where everything is all about a graph. I mean, life isn't made to be lived in some, in a graph. Everybody's scared to death, We're worried about racism. We're worried about identifying things improperly because somebody might be offended by it.
We've said this 1,000 times. We've actually said this since day one. We're now at, what, 30 million filed for unemployment?
Mm-hmm.
This, you guys, a lot bigger problems than the coronavirus.
Yeah.
I mean, the impact this is going to have over the next several years is so, dramatic.
There it is. I mean, you take away from it what you want. And that's why I say, if you're nervous about it, stay home.
Right.
If you are compromised, stay home. If I get sick tomorrow, God bless me. But I have nothing else to do but live my life my way. Now, I'm not going to go around my mother, who has a compromised immune system. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to go around my mother-in-law, who has COPD. I don't want to get around your mother, right? Because freedom demands personal responsibility. Hey, technology's improved just about everything. Phones, cars, shopping, yet mattresses. Well, more or less, they've been the same since the invention of sleep. But we deserve better. You deserve better. Finally, the mattress has evolved thanks to Purple. The secret to Purple is the Purple Grid. It's patented comfort technology that instantly adapts to your body's natural shape and sleep style. Purple is for everybody. No matter how you sleep, Purple is designed with over 2,800 open air channels and naturally temperature neutral gel. You'll never sleep too hot, never too cold. The Purple mattress is soft where you want it, firm where you need it, and comfortably cool all over. It's truly a mattress that does it all. And you can count on resting easy night after night, year after year, because the ultra-durable Purple Grid won't sink or lose shape. Purple is so confident in what they do that every Purple mattress comes with a free shipping and return at a risk-free 100-night trial. You can experience the next evolution of sleep. Go to purple.com/watchchad. Use promo code WATCHCHAD. And for a limited time, you'll get $150 off any Purple mattress order of $1,500 or more. That's purple.com/watchchad. Promo code WATCHCHAD for $150 off any mattress order of $1,500 or more. Terms apply. Hey guys, welcome back. You know, we don't have to talk about how much we are living in crazy times. And those of you who are paying attention to anything, you're realizing that a lot of your freedoms, a lot of your liberties, a lot of your opinions, your thoughts, your ability to speak freely, heavily under attack. And how dare you if you even attempt to come out there and speak your mind that you know, disagrees in any way, shape, or form with what we consider the woke mob that's out there. And there's a new book that's out. It's a fantastic book. I read it over the weekend by our good friend Dave Rubin. It's called Don't Burn This Book, and it's one you want to get. It just came out just in the past week, and the thing is killing it right now, and I'm recommending it to everybody. So joining us right now, of course, is the host of the Rubin Report, our good friend Dave Rubin. Dave, how's everything in sunny Southern California, buddy?
I'm trapped in my house, and I'm fairly certain that if I went to the beach, I would be shot. So I'll take your word for it that it's sunny. But life is good. The book is crushing it. You know, we're dealing with some major, major problems out here. We're dealing with it all over the country. You guys, fortunately, you're wise enough to be in Texas, and you guys are starting to open up. And, you know, maybe there'll be some bumps along the road with that. But everything that you just said in your intro there about freedom and liberty and your ability to control your life. And by the way, life is about risk. Take a little risk in life. That's what America is all about. That's a beautiful thing that you guys are doing quite well right now in Texas and in a few of the other southern states. And unfortunately, in the big lefty states, and I happen to be in one of them, at least for now here in California, we're just not doing it well.
Yeah, and you know, I was reading on Twitter yesterday. Of course, it was on Twitter.
What are you doing on Twitter? What are you doing horrible. To yourself?
Do you ever fall into the trap of reading the comments, or do you just skip right on past them?
You know, I used to read them a lot more because sometimes you actually can glean something interesting, right? Yeah. I mean, people do have some thoughts that you don't have, and the only way you can map your reality is to hear what other people think. Unfortunately, big tech has just been inundated by trolls and coordinated campaigns and bots. and the rest of it. So I try not to look at the mentions or the comments that much anymore, which is unfortunate because, you know, it's like guys like us, it's like we do a show because we love people, right? You love your audience. You want to communicate with your audience. And that's partly, by the way, why I think that smaller networks, smaller gated communities are going to be the future of the internet. It's why I wanted to partner with The Blaze in the first place. You guys, I would say we now, we have some protections by being with the infrastructure of The Blaze and uniting for whatever our political differences are. We have some protections by being on something that's outside of YouTube because that whole game is just being manipulated. It's like watching a basketball game and pretending that the score is fair at the end. And then you find out that actually one team got 3 points for every 2-pointer that they took. I mean, that's the game that we're all playing.
Yeah, I was on there yesterday, and one of the judges there in Harris County, which of course is Houston, Texas, said, you know, we want to make sure if there's anything over capacity at a restaurant, we want that reported. If there's anybody that's going against Governor Abbott's orders, we want to make sure that that is, you know, basically we need some tattletales out there and that kind of thing. I mean, like that's one of those welcome to the revolution kind of statements to me that really pisses me off. So I'm hoping, to your point, that Texas will stay the course right now, because you guys are kind of living in a Gestapo police state right now with Gavin Newsom, and then the local mayors have just become little tyrants and dictators. And you're feeling that, aren't you?
I'm here in L.A. I've got a progressive mayor, Eric Garcetti, who's quite literally telling us to tattletale on each other. And, you know, if you snitch, you might get a reward. Now, that's not to say, obviously, that we should social distance still and that, you know, if you got to wear a mask and the rest of it. But we have to start opening up. We have decimated virtually every small business. Mm-hmm. Why is it that right now you can go into Target? So Target's allowed to be opened, but the small business next door that maybe sells some of the same products as Target, they can't be open. Why are they not allowed to set their own rules and say, oh, well, normally we'd have 20 customers in here at once. Today, we're only going to have 8. I mean, we've just, you know, just because the governor or the mayor says something, that doesn't mean it's just or right or even constitutional. Mm-hmm. But I think what's unfortunately happened in the blue states is they've put so much belief, the average person has put so much belief that the government is just kind of right, that they just kind of know what they're doing, that we should just follow them. And I think really, for a guy like me that is a true lover of liberty and individual rights, you know, it's an odd place for me to be living at the moment. I mentioned to you right before we started, like, I'm actually thinking about leaving. And I love it here, man, but you're going to tell me on a weekend where it's 85 and sunny like it was this past weekend. I mean, the perfect quintessential SoCal day that you love. It's why you pay the high taxes. It's why you put up with the traffic and the nonsense. It's like, if I can't go to the beach anymore,
we got
to start rethinking this.
Yeah,
so I told Glenn this morning, man, make me a deal I can't refuse. Make me an offer I can't refuse. Let's talk.
Well, the doors are wide open, man. I'll tell you something that you guys, everybody on the planet needs to be familiar with Dave Rubin. And if you're not, listen, not only has the guy who's a handsome gentleman who's made me question my own sexuality.
Come on now.
Listen,
come on now.
I want to tell you, you're a free thinker. And I appreciate that about you because you're one of those guys who encourages people to think for themselves. An art, a skill that has been lost in this day and age. Don't Burn This Book is a phenomenal treatise, if you will, of just a simple way of saying, look, think for yourself. You're going to get attacked for it, but here's the deal. You dedicated the book to Ben Affleck. I was reading the book, and I went past it, and I said, what the hell did I just see? And I scrolled back, and then as you read into it, you start to understand it. Why Ben Affleck?
Yeah, so I had a lot of people screenshotting that dedication and you know, because a lot of people got it and then a lot of people were very confused about it. So first off, let's be very clear. I don't know Ben Affleck personally. Yeah. I've never met Ben Affleck. I don't particularly think he's a good Batman. Let's put that aside. The reason that I dedicated it to Ben Affleck was there's a very famous moment where this is about 5 years ago now. Ben Affleck was on Real Time with Bill Maher, and he was on the panel side. And when you're on the panel side, you're one of the three people. You're debating the hot topics. And then Sam Harris, who is a neuroscientist, who mostly writes about mindful meditation now, who I did not even know at the time. He's since become a good friend of mine, and I've had him on the show many times. But it was the first time I'd ever seen him speak. He comes on Real Time to talk about his new book called Waking Up, A Guide to Spirituality Without Religion. And Sam is known as being sort of one of the most outspoken kind of lefty atheists that there are. So here him and Mar, and they're talking about something that we all know to be true, a very simple concept that you have to be able to separate ideas from people, meaning you should be able to criticize any set of ideas, but you wouldn't want to be bigoted towards people. So in other words, you could criticize the Old Testament, an idea in the Old Testament, that wouldn't mean that you would hate all Jews. You could criticize an idea in the New Testament, it wouldn't mean that you hate all Christians, and you could criticize an idea in the Quran, that wouldn't mean you hate all Muslims. Now, everyone knows this to be true. If you criticized the Democratic Party platform or the Republican Party platform, that doesn't mean you hate all Democrats or Republicans. Ideas are made to be criticized. That's the very essence of what an idea is. That's how good ideas bubble up. Anyway, they were discussing that very concept, mostly related to Islam. And Affleck turned to Marr and to Harris and called them gross and racist. And he did it the way lefties behave, with he was red in the face, he was angry and boisterous and yelling at them and sweating and the whole thing. And what was interesting about it was I had been, as a lefty at the time, I was on the Young Turks Network, I had been thinking that there was something wrong with the left for about a year. I had been thinking, this doesn't make sense. It can't be that everyone we disagree with is a racist and a bigot, and we're just so morally right. And you know, there are moments in life where you have a thought for like a year or a certain period of time, and then suddenly something happens right in front of your eyes that you go, bam, that's it. That is it. And that's what happened to me. I saw him do the thing that we had all been doing from the left. And it was so obvious. And not only was it so obvious, but Bill Maher has been the standard bearer of the left in America. There is no more outspoken liberal in America in the last 30 years than Bill Maher. But suddenly, because he said one thing that A-list Ben Affleck doesn't like, suddenly he's gross and racist. And then just to wrap it up, what I saw over the next couple weeks were suddenly everybody who would love Bill Maher and Sam Harris on any other day, suddenly every article in BuzzFeed and everywhere else is calling them racist. And I thought, well, this must be what we've been doing to conservatives this whole time. Yeah. They didn't say anything racist beyond the fact that a religion is not a race, but we could put that aside. I mean, there was nothing racist there, but it was just, oh, someone says something, and then once you have that label attached to you, man, that's the scarlet letter, and you got to live for it, live with it for the rest of your life. And what I try to do in the book is show people you can beat that machine.
Yeah. And so in that regard, I mean, he sort of became the straw that broke the camel's back, because I remember that interview, and it was almost like my thought was, hey, you're not really Bruce Wayne here. You know, you're not really Batman who's coming to save the world of Islam in this situation. And we've seen that happen. You know, our friend Jordan Peterson, he's caught the same kind of, you know, we've all caught it to some degree, some more than others. You know, Jordan Peterson, who's a very, very fair-minded, fair-thinking, free-thinking, open-minded person, but yet, you know, because he talks about gender specifics and things like that, obviously the woke mob's going to come after him and do everything they can to tar and feather him. And that's, you've got something here, and I read these books on digital so I can take the screenshots of them. You said, we currently live in a time when people from the world's freest societies are afraid to speak up for fear of an outrage-fueled mob. And we talked about the Twitter comments. You know, you've had those tweets that have gone viral. Maybe you said it a certain way, or a way you would have said it differently had Twitter had an edit button, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, here they come. And you're like, okay, brace yourself. You know, I always knew when Tommy Lahren had retweeted me, because holy shit, here it comes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, here it comes.
You know, how does, and I would say 85-90% of my audience that are watching this, listening to this, they've been there. How do they face that reality? Because it's here. It's not going away as I see it.
Yeah, so it's a great question. I mean, that gets to the core of this book more than anything else. And there is a sad truth, but I think it is the only truth. The only way we beat this thing, Chad, you and I were public people. We can be out there. We've faced it. It's sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not. You know, I tell the story about getting my hair cut one day, and my girl comes behind me and she says, Dave, you better look at this. She puts the mirror back there, and I was missing huge chunks of hair. It's something called alopecia areata, which is only known to be stress related. So that was when I first started getting hate, and I literally lost about 40% of my hair. I was spraying on my hair to do my show. I mean, it was a horrible time in my life. But here's the thing. There's a couple of us out there, you know, let's say a handful of people out there that are doing this publicly. But what we need more than anything else is your viewers, my viewers, the average person who's sitting there living in America in 2020, afraid to say that they're for low taxes or they're for states' rights or they're against the shutdown or whatever it might be, we need them to start getting a little bit braver. And I know it's hard. I'm not being glib about this. I'm not diminishing the fear that they have, because we all know it. I had people that were invited to my wedding turn on me and tell me I'm a bigot and a racist. I mean, mm-hmm. I've lost friends, had family issues. And they never can illustrate why you're those things, but that's what leftism has become. It's become such a monolithic way of thinking that if you don't buy it, the second they buy it, then they're going to toss you out.
Yeah.
But genuinely, what we need more of is more people that get it to just, if you can't get out there and say everything you think, then you need to start sharing some videos a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You need to start thumbing up things. You need to start reviewing things a little bit more. We need to counter their madness. What they prey on is our silence. They prey on our acquiescence. And the more that you think, oh, if I'm just quiet, I'll be okay. You know what you are? You're the frog in the pot. You know what happens to that frog? It doesn't work out well for the frog. No frog gets out of that slowly boiling pot. But I think that that's what most people are doing. They're just kind of being like, oh, this thing can't last forever. I'll just sit this one out. But you need to start posting more. You need to start speaking up. They can't fire us all. They can't mob us all. They can't destroy us all. And it's the only way. Because if there's only 20 of us out there that are fighting it publicly, they can pick us off or just exhaust us. You know what I mean? I'm sure you've been through a version of this where it's like it starts getting really heated one day and you're just like, why am I doing this? Am I freaking Superman? I'm not Superman. So I think we just need other people to step up. And that really is the message of the book.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I look at myself, I'm a comedian, you're a comedian. I mean, we've all made a living in the world of entertainment. And then you have the people who come along and say, man, I liked it better when you were just telling jokes. How long can you keep your head in the sand and let this continue on without using a platform and voice to say something about what you see?
But, you know, on the comedy side of this, let's not forget, man, first off, when I come to Texas next time, we should do some stand-up together.
We got
to
do them.
Let's find the biggest club in Dallas and we'll sell it out. No problem. Let's do it. But, you know, think about stand-up in this regard. It's like Jerry Seinfeld, regardless of what you think about his comedy, this is the most apolitical person you could possibly imagine. No one knows Jerry Seinfeld's beliefs about anything, right? You know his beliefs about the quirkiness of the world, but you don't know what he thinks about. I suspect I know what he thinks about some of this stuff, which is why he doesn't talk about it, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
Right? Adam Carolla has a great riff on this, that if someone's in Hollywood and you don't know what they think, that pretty much means they're a conservative.
Yeah.
But the point is that you don't know what Seinfeld's beliefs are about abortion or about taxes or about anything else. And yet he was the one that, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, said, I'm not going to do college gigs anymore because they've become too politically correct. This is a guy who's never offended anybody. Who it would be almost impossible for him to offend anybody because he's so sort of milquetoast in that regard. And I don't even mean that as a slam to him.
Sure.
The show is probably the greatest sitcom ever, you know. But the point is that if guys that aren't even political per se are like, you know what, forget this. I'm not going to do stand-up at colleges anymore. Well, then it's like, man, they've defeated comedy. And you know what happens to a society when comedy's on the outs?
Right.
Now we got much bigger problems.
Yeah, and that's the thing. People, you can call it easily offended, thin-skinned, but, you know, I am one of those guys. I have some pretty strong opinions when it comes to comedy in our current culture. It is in danger. That is always an indicator of a threat on free speech that's out there. It's the last bastion of being able to go out and speak your mind, but that's under attack. How does that play in with this woke mob? Are we seeing a kind of a demise of comedy, of humor, the ability to even be off the cuff?
Yeah, look at some of the most ridiculous things that we have seen come out of the comedy world in the last couple of years. Family Guy, which was created by Seth MacFarlane, as you know, for 20 years made fun of everybody, blacks, gays, Jews, Muslims, Christians, everybody, all across the board, equal opportunity offender. That's a beautiful thing because that means you're all equal. We're going to take shots at everybody. This is Don Rickles, right? What did Don Rickles do back in the heyday? He'd walk on stage. There's a Chinaman. There's a black guy. There's a Jew. There's an Italian. And what that did was it made everybody feel equal. We're all part of America. But Family Guy in the last year or so, Seth MacFarlane said, we're not going to make gay jokes anymore. So it's like, all right, well, wait a minute, gay people are now equal in America. Why would you now keep them separate? You're doing a separate but equal thing that is actually not healthy. It's not healthy, well, certainly not healthy for comedy, but it's also not healthy for a society. Oh, we're going to have certain people we just won't joke about. Now, he's not returning any of the money he made on all the gay jokes and the AIDS jokes and the rest of it. You know what I mean? And even a more perverse version of that is The Simpsons. Yeah. Hank Azaria, who is the best voiceover guy in the in modern times, mm-hmm. who did a million of the voices on The Simpsons, suddenly there was this move to make Apu seem racist. Now, Apu taught The Simpsons about immigration. He taught The Simpsons about Buddhism. He taught them about veganism. He was part of the community. He's like, he's actually the hardest working person in all of Springfield, who's friends with everybody. He had an Indian wedding. You know, you see all his kids in traditional garb, all of this stuff, right? And then the mob comes after Hank Azaria. So now Hank Azaria says, I'm not going to voice Apu again. And it's like, well, all right, are you guys going to write Apu out? Apu, like, it's so bananas. But again, is Hank Azaria returning any of the money? Probably not. No. So it shows you how cancerous, really, this ideology is. It will come for everything of the past. And that is deeply dangerous. The best way I can show you a sort of real life version of this is, you know, Barack Obama ran his first campaign against gay marriage. He was against gay marriage. Now, they're building his presidential library in Chicago. Pretty sure it's under construction right now. The progressives of 2040 are going to look back and go, whoa, that Obama guy was against gay marriage? I want that library taken down. And guess what? They'll do it. They'll do it.
Yeah.
Because everything they do is an erasure of history. We are just people of our time. That's it.
Yeah. The book is called Don't Burn This Book. And Dave, one of the most liberating things you say in it, at least for me, is one of these days people are going to call you a Nazi, and it's okay. You're going to wake up to the realization you're not a Nazi, and it's okay that you got called a Nazi. And that's everybody is dealing with. I mean, it was bad enough everybody called us racists. Now everybody's going to call you, like, there's nothing worse than a Nazi. And so I love the title. I love the play on it. I encourage everybody, not only watch the Rubin Report, follow Dave Rubin on all the socials. Don't let the platforms get deplatformed and the voices be silent. And more than anything, read this book. Dave, your pleasure, man. Thank you, brother. And get your butt to Texas.
Chad, it was a pleasure. Listen, we're going to do some stand-up there, and maybe I'll just find a house and just stay.
There you go.
We'll just, it'll be a weekend. I'll be like, all right, that's the place, you know, wrap it up.
I love it. It gets in your blood, man. Dave, my regards to your husband. God bless you, buddy. Stay strong out there, and we always appreciate your voice. Dave Rubin, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, brother.
Special thanks to our good friend Dave Rubin for being on the show. Make sure you get his book, Don't Burn This Book. Excellent read. You're going to love it. It's going to give you tons of liberating information that you're going to want for your own conversations amongst family and friends, as well as debates. Of course, we're all in the middle of our debates. And you know, Natalie, at the end of the day, everybody's got to be responsible for themselves, right? I mean, that is it. You have so many entities out there, from big corporations, government, to your neighbors who are watching you, who are paying attention to everything. We've talked about that. If you missed our episodes, One Nation Under Surveillance, over the last 2 weeks, go back, watch part one, watch part two. It's very revealing, very telling. The things that are going on in this country and also globally, it's a scary, scary deal. So make sure that you're watching, paying attention. Subscribe on YouTube. Watch us where you can and leave us a rating and review wherever podcasts are offered. Party Foul Steve, partyfoulnation.com, and of course his podcast on Party Foul Nation on YouTube. Hot News Natalie is just, look at you.
Just here.
With your manicure and all that stuff. Look at you. Go to watchchad.com. That is where all of the fun stuff is. You know it. One of these days, Steve, we'll go back and do shows again. Who knows?
I know.
Ready. Go out there and get it. Thanks to our sponsors and to you for watching us, supporting us. We love y'all. God bless you, and we can't wait to see you again tomorrow night. Talk to you then. Bye.